welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the Scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths, to marriage and parenting, to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
Do you question whether God knows or cares about you in your everyday life? Would you like to be more connected with God, but you feel you need to know a little bit more about God before connecting with Him? If so, come be a part and join author Paul Little as he helps you to closely examine the central truths about God and enable you to know with confidence in whom you believe. Today we're going to feature the third volume in a set of what I call companion books written by Paul Little. Previously on this program, we highlighted Little's other books in this series, Know What You Believe and Know Why You Believe. Know What You Believe was packed with illuminating answers to questions and misconceptions about the Christian faith, with steady questions for each chapter. It clarified in the minds of evangelical adults truths they may have lost sight of or perhaps never even knew. Some Christians found their spiritual maturity hastened by the easily assimilated truths presented in it. And those who had made no commitment to Christ found powerful motivation for such action within those pages. The second volume in the series, Know Why You Believe, spotlighted commonly asked questions about God and the Christian faith and provided some compelling answers. Because as Little declared, for the strengthening of our faith and for the help of others, we must be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks us for a reason for the hope that is within us, for Christianity is rational. And now it is my pleasure to bring to you the third installment in this series, Know Who You Believe. In it, Little presents 8 bottom-line, non-negotiable doctrinal truths from Christianity using humorous, anecdotal illustrations gathered from years of experience and peppered throughout with relevant supporting scripture, as he shows us that Christian doctrine need not be intimidating nor dull. This third volume was published after the death of Paul Little by his wife Marie Little from Paul's files, tapes, and portions from a previous book entitled The Answer to Life. Marie has used Paul's voice on every page. The thoughts and theology are his. Marie has added some updated terms and references, but whenever she does, she has set them off from the main text. I so appreciate the work she has done. To me, it is such a blessing that Paul's wonderful insights were not lost due to his untimely death. Paul opens with this: ask any 10 people what makes a Christian, and you will get 10 different answers. He then goes on to share several of the answers he heard people give over the years. For example, a Christian is someone who was born and raised in a Christian home or country or who inherited their faith. A person who goes to church. Someone who practices rituals like baptism, communion, or Bible reading. One who follows the golden rule and leads a moral life. A person who abstains from specific, external, so-called worldly practices. Someone who gives casual intellectual assent to a certain list of beliefs. Other ideas or definitions may come to your mind, but any of these emphasize the importance of providing a clear answer to our beginning question: what makes a person a Christian? Little shares that some time ago he gave a talk at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, on the reasonableness of Christianity. At the end, he opened the floor for discussion. A heavily bearded graduate student stood up, took his pipe out of his mouth, and asked, "Why do you Christians bother?" His underlying complaint went far beyond his words. Little was riveted by the young man's honesty. Christians bother because truth is at stake. None of the definitions I stated earlier gives the full picture of the Christian message. Yet our understanding of truth determines what we believe and trust. It does matter what we think of God and Jesus Christ. To illuminate our thinking, Little lays out the bottom line truths on which the Christian faith rests. His focus will be on the basics, like what defines an authentic, inside Christian, not a superficial, casual one. He'll avoid discussing ceremonial differences or minor doctrinal spin-offs, and will concentrate instead on the essentials, using the Bible as the source of our truth. He will show that the Bible spells out the extraordinary impact of Jesus' life, teaching, and identity. Who he was will naturally be the hub of this Christian story. The first bottom line truth presented is that inner direction is needed. Jesus himself advanced this idea to a group of highly religious people of his day. He saw the lives of some well-meaning people entirely absorbed with the ceremonial rules and practices. They had strict procedures for washing their hands, the proper utensils to use, the kind of food to eat, and other endless rituals. Yet Jesus told them, "Nothing that enters a man from the outside can defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and so passes on." Mark 7:18. He went on to say, "It is what comes out of our hearts that matters." Who we are on the inside was of utmost importance to him, and I think for most people it is the same for them. It is interesting to note that Jesus discussed thoughts and actions in almost the same breath. For instance, he spoke of hatred and murders as equally culpable. He told people it is the inner heart that senses a need for help and poses the questions. Poet John Donne echoed that thought, "How little of a man is his heart, yet it is all by which man is." Who of us hasn't had inner churning, wishing someone would listen to us, or even wondered if there was anyone we could trust? What do ideas about God and Jesus have to do with me in my everyday life? Can I personally connect with God and Jesus Christ for certain in my inner self? Some of us may have gone to church or looked at the Bible hoping for answers. In his song, "Is Anybody There?" singer John Hiatt tells us of his inner feelings and at the same time strikes a chord of truth. In his heart, Hiatt knew he needed help. Life was not going the way he thought it should, and something inside drove him to turn to God for an answer. If God doesn't care, who does? Hiatt got down on his knees and spoke to God through Jesus Christ. He poured out his heart. He sought someone outside of himself to bring relief, and not just anyone, someone big. Some petitions stem from the inner soul. St. Augustine described it as our God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. Asking questions defines us as humans. It's the natural thing to do. We feel we need help from someone outside of ourselves, but too often seeking God and praying becomes our last and shakiest resort. Let me assure you, little wights, there is hope. Throughout the Bible, we see our Creator God directing, guiding, and encouraging the people He created. He intended us to be in close relationship with Him, and this, in turn, affects our relationship with others. From the beginning pages of the Bible, God reached out to the people He created. He desired a family relationship. At one point in the story of the first couple, God Himself called to them, "Where are you?" Genesis 3:9. God didn't want to be separated. Likewise, He calls to every one of us whom He created, "Come to Me, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. Imagine for a moment, Little asks, that you are going into a car dealership and checking out a new car. The technical brilliance and the shiny exterior of the new car are hard to resist. The latest model blows your mind with all the add-ons. But this enticing new machine has one unalterable deficiency. It will only function if it has an intelligent driver behind the wheel. Without a driver, an automobile is just a mere museum piece. If you push one of these cars down a steep hill without a driver, it will careen and reel downward, wreaking havoc along the way and finally crashing. Likewise, we were made to be directed and led in life's path in close connection with our Maker. We function best when we get our cues from God. Unfortunately, each of us has individually shut God out of the driver's seat of our lives. All too often, we continue to ratify this decision and try to handle our lives without reference to God. From early childhood, the knee-jerk reaction we follow is, "I'll do it myself." We live our lives with the same kind of independence. "Don't drive me, God. I'll drive myself." Yet trying to live life without God, our incredibly wise Creator, is as foolish as being upset because we're dependent on the air we breathe and then holding our breath in rebellion. Cutting ourselves off from the one available source of divine nurturing power is like a tree cutting off its own roots. Even Carl Gustav Jung, the famous European psychiatrist, unexpectedly agreed that we all need God. Those psychiatrists who are not superficial have come to the conclusion that the vast neurotic mystery of the world could be termed a neurosis of emptiness. Men cut themselves off from the root of their being, from God, and then life turns empty, inane, meaningless, without purpose. So when God goes, our goal goes. When our goal goes, meaning goes. When meaning goes, value goes, and life turns dead in our hands. We do need God, Little declares. When God, the root of our being, takes the wheel of our car, starts the engine, revs the motor, steers it in the right direction, and feeds us the right amount of fuel, life does not turn dead in our hands. Whatever our previous conceptions of God may be, our Creator's true revealed purpose is to guide us on the best road and in the wisest direction. Jeremiah described it like this. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord, who formed it and established it. The Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Jeremiah 33, verses 2 through 3. To such an everlasting love, Little asserts, our best answer must be to tell him with open hearts, I need your divine direction, Lord God. The call from God today has not changed. To each of us he says, where are you? He initiates the call. He is interested in the details of our lives. Even in the minor things, he offers to help fill the hole in our souls. This is the magnificent connection. You can actually know personally the God in whom you believe. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Jeremiah 31:3. If praying or talking to God is new to us, we will naturally want to know who God is. Apart from definition, God means little to any of us. Without a clear description, our alternative will be a God of our own construction or imagination. There are a lot of wild guesses about God being sold in our bookstores today. Some say God is an impersonal force, a ball of fire, and we are the sparks. Others see God as a celestial Santa Claus. But we don't need idle guesses, we need certainty. So let's start with some tested and tried basics. First, God is a person. We can talk to him. God is not a ghost or a puff of smoke. He has personality, mind, heart, and spirit. As human beings, he has created us in his image with individual personality, mind, heart, and spirit. Our all-powerful Creator is alive and approachable and is waiting for us to call on him. He says in Isaiah 58:11, "The Lord will guide you always." And in Matthew 11:28, Jesus tells us, "Come to me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Second, God reveals himself. He has chosen to show himself to us in a number of ways. We call this his self-revelation. Most obviously, God can be seen as the supreme artist in the magnificence of our created world and the complexity of our physical bodies. In everyday minor areas, little reflex, I am thankful when my contact lenses feel dry that God created eyelids to blink and moisten them. I also marvel at the structure of my thumb and four fingers, telling me someone ingenious designed them. God revealed himself specifically to the biblical writers and told them what to write. He used their individual personalities, their skills as poets or authors, and they recorded God's thoughts. He directed their entire lives. He told them he had plans for their lives, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. He unveiled his character and his will for them. He told them how to live productively. The entire message of the Bible, our source book, gives numerous details of God regularly interacting with people. He sought them out, spoke to them directly, taught them, comforted them, and brought light to their lives. He gave national help and intervened in governments. God directed individuals. He brought Elijah a full-blown victory when enemies challenged the nation's faith in God. He gave Job strong fortitude and deep spiritual insights when trouble hit him. In the New Testament, God spoke to a Christian named Ananias and told him to go to a Hebrew-trained man named Saul who was praying. This Saul was transformed into the vibrant Apostle Paul. Further, Little writes, we see God's love expressed supremely in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ. He came to earth to communicate to us. In this act, he gave the fullest expression of his love. The eternal God reaches out to us, showing his desire to keep a close connection between him and us. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. 1 John 4:9. Third, God is love. He loves each of us personally. Motivated by love, he reaches out for a connection with us. He values what we do with our lives. Jesus tells us God numbers the hairs on our head and cares for our deepest needs. The Bible also tells us his love endures forever. He will not leave us when we face temptation, but his love draws us irresistibly to himself. And most eloquently, Little shares, his steadfast love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Lamentations 3:22-23. God's love is shown unmistakably in his actions. The Old Testament weaves persistent covenants and their protection for all who call on him. The New Testament recounts detailed fulfillment of God's promises and actions in sending Jesus Christ, his Son. German theologian Helmut Thielick puts it like this: God's love is stronger than fire and destruction, and even in the valley of our deepest darkness, his rod and staff are put into our hands, and bridges are thrown across the abyss. Fourth, God is holy. God's nature is inherently without flaw. His instructions, his laws, are for our benefit, solely for our good. It is not easy to fully comprehend God's holiness. Our world is shattered by senseless and vicious acts of evil that defy explanation. Why God, we ask? A simple answer is that God has given each of us that dignity of choice. Choose to follow his path or choose evil and defy the Lord who made us. Even our own standards, Little writes, tell us to judge and punish mass murderers and terrorists and to feel justified in it. The little white lies or cheating on our taxes, we might forget and feel no guilt about those. But deep down we know little sins become big ones, and the second lie is often needed to cover up the first. Before we know it, lying becomes a habit. Yet all of us want the other person to be honest. The fact is, Jesus said all of us need to learn God's standard of holiness, and we need forgiveness. Any sin separates us from our holy God, and his holiness is for our benefit. Once a student from the University of Kansas spoke to Paul after a lecture he had given. Somewhat cavalierly, the student said, "If God grades on a curve, I'll make it." Unfortunately, the student had not yet comprehended God's unrivaled character. God most certainly does not grade on the curve. God's standard is logical and holy. He is completely without evil in thought, word, or deed. We may be better than someone else, but the other person is not our yardstick. God's holiness is far above ours, total, unflawed goodness, a fixed incompatibility with inner or outer evil. Truthfully, when we understand His character, when we get to know Him, we will see that His holiness is a comfort. Anything less than perfection would not be God. It would simply be an imperfect human, one no more capable of saving us than we are of saving ourselves. God is calling to each of us, "Where are you?" Where we are in our journey matters to God. If we simply turn and seek Him out, we will find His open arms and unparalleled love waiting for us. Author-blogger Rachel Ulmer sums up the question of knowing God like this. There's a very important question we should ask ourselves. It is this: do I know God? It is not enough to ask ourselves if we believe in God or His Word and Gospel, for even the demons believe and shudder, James 2:19. It is not enough to ask ourselves if we are trying to please God, serve Him, or further His kingdom. It is not enough to know God's Word, ways, and attributes. It is not enough to preach about these, proclaim the good news, or promote Bible study. What the deciding factor of whether or not we are indwelt by the Spirit of God and on the road to eternal life is that we know God. How do we know that we know God? We know God because we are serving Him, reading His Word, hearing from Him, obeying His Word and voice, and producing the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. But here is another telltale sign. We will be in love. We will be in love with our God. We will adore Him and fervently desire to spend time with Him. We will be excited to spend alone time with Him, in His Word, in worship, in prayer, and in quiet listening. We will grow ever closer to Him, so that Psalm 73:25 becomes absolutely true as we say, "Lord, being with You, I desire nothing on earth." Nothing? That's right, nothing. Nothing compares. We appreciate God's gracious gifts and blessings, and the family and friends He's given us. But in comparison to having Him, we care nothing about having any other. For just like an adoring bride toward her gentle and wonderful husband, we are enthralled with our majestic Lord, He who is our Savior, Comforter, Counselor, Protector, and Best Friend. In the first chapter, Little began with the truth that we all need direction, highlighting that we were not created to drive our own life. In the remaining chapters, he discusses 7 additional truths to help us make the magnificent connection and truly know personally the one in whom we believe, the Lord God Almighty. There is no greater relationship for any of us. Know Who You Believe by Paul Little can be found at your local Christian bookstore or online and is currently available in paperback. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. We are grateful, however, to be able to benefit from the research and works of others that seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and which provide insights to help strengthen and deepen your spiritual walk.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of sharing hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.